The British royal family, crowns on the outside, chaos on the inside. On the podcast Palace Intrigue, we cover the stories behind the headlines every day with a dozen new episodes every week. Meghan and the controversy that never quits, William and Kate quietly waiting for their turn on the throne, and former Prince Andrew, well, always a story unto himself. It's smart, it's sharp, and a little snarky. It's Palace Intrigue. And when you're ready to go deeper into the royal verse, we have King William, a speculative fiction podcast. Think The Crown, but set in the future. And another series, Crown and Controversy, the stories that continue where TV's The Crown ended. Join us for daily royal news with context, clarity, and just a hint of mischief. Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your podcasts.
Killers don't just take lives. They reshape everything they left behind. A quiet back road, a busy stretch of highway, a house that once felt safe, now a shrine to everything that went wrong. Across Texas, deserts, fields, and bayous keep their secrets buried, but not forever. From the creators of Gone Cold comes Of Hell, Texas True Crime, a podcast about the state's most depraved killers and the scars they left on every town, every family, every mile marker they touched. Stories that ask one burning question: were there more victims? Some folks aren't just from hell, they're of it. Of Hell, Texas True Crime. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
We are gathered here today to bid farewell to 3 hours of SmackDown. Consistently the worst television show each and every single Friday night. Formulaic promo segments. A show that gives us very few matches mixed in with very many commercials. Very many, many, many commercials every single week. In fact, I hate it when a match interrupts these commercials here on this SmackDown show. Segments that often feel like they exist simply for the purpose of killing as much time as humanly possible on these shows. We have a tag team division here on SmackDown. The powers that be in this company should be brought up on manslaughter charges. That is how dead the tag team division is here on this program. A tag team division, frankly, deader than the Mets' chances of making the playoffs this year. That's pretty fucking dead. You know, when I think about this journey that we've been on here over these past 6 months, 3 hours every single week, it makes me wonder. Yeah, it's an old saying. It goes a little something like this. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. Which, of course, whoever said that clearly never watched 3 hours of SmackDown on a Friday night. Excuse me. Here. You use this. Use this. Very good. Okay. That really wasn't necessary. And so tonight, as we wrap this up here, with a heavy heart, we bid farewell, at least until January, but putting that aside for a moment, we bid farewell to 3 hours of mediocre television. We bid farewell as we make our way towards what you and I both know will be 2 hours of mediocre television every single week. But 2 hours of mediocre television is always better than 3 hours of mediocre television, so we'll take it. But so as not to end on a sour note here, I don't want to sound like a negative Nancy. And because we all should be respectful of the dead, I shall end by saying something positive about this show. I will say something positive about Friday Night SmackDown. Now, who the fuck am I kidding? I can't say anything positive about 3 hours of SmackDown. What, are you out of your fucking mind? There ain't nothing positive to say about 3 hours of SmackDown. What we are going to do here is we are going to party. That's what we're going to do. Because we have been waiting for this now for many, many months. And finally, the day is here. We're going to bust out the confetti. We're going to bust out the fucking ball you see there at the top of your screen. And we are going to celebrate. We are going to revel in the end of 3 hour SmackDowns. That is what we are going to do here. Tonight, we celebrate. I'm going to put our dancing shoes on. That is what we are going to do. You know how long I've waited for this? You know how many weeks? I thought this was going to happen in May. And then I come to find out, no, it's going to be in June. Then June comes and goes. And now all of a sudden we're looking at the first 2 hours SmackDown at the beginning of July. Like, I've been waiting weeks and weeks for this moment. And finally we are here. Good Lord. You like my disco ball? I think I may break that disco ball out every week. All right, wave goodbye to it. Oh, my goodness. Tonight, it was the go-home show. Tonight of Chase. See, I try to be respectful. I felt like I had to at least come on here and just say a few words and just commemorate, you know, the three-hour era of SmackDown until, of course, we come back to it in January. We'll try to enjoy it until we get there. Oh, my God. Night of Champions is actually less than 24 hours away. And we have another stream. We have another show to do. It was also, SmackDown was tonight, taped in London on Tuesday. Because I guess they had to get everybody over to Riyadh for the show tomorrow. So they had to tape SmackDown in advance. SmackDown next week is also being taped, by the way. It's going to be taped on Monday, which is why Raw on Monday starts at 6 p.m. Eastern. Because they're taping two shows that night. Because they want to give the crew off, I guess, for 4th of July weekend. But if you heard the story earlier today, this was apparently a big deal. The WWE was very upset that SmackDown leaked early. Not the results. I mean, the results, of course, are going to leak. But the actual episode, video of the episode, leaked early. And they're very upset about this. And somebody sent me the video, so I had the chance to watch the show early. You know what? The only thing worse than sitting through 3 hours of SmackDown is sitting through 3 hours of SmackDown twice, which is what I did because I watched the SmackDown feed on USA Network tonight. Although, to be honest, it really wasn't 3 hours as far as the video that leaked. It was more like 2 hours and 10 minutes because all the commercials were cut out. But still, that's over 5 hours of SmackDown, of the same show that I watched this week, the things I do for you guys. And the key developments on the show were very slim. Because it was the go-home show. So, of course, the majority of what we got tonight was the promotion of all of the matches that are on the card for tomorrow. The closing segment, for example, the main event of SmackDown tonight was a promo segment involving the parties involved in the WWE Championship match and the King of the Ring match. We had Cody, we had Gunther, we had Sammy, but then Jey Uso showed up. Yay. Jey Uso came out. Obafemi came out. He didn't say anything, but just his mere presence was felt. So, of course, that's how they closed the show. And actually, in terms of what they did there, I'm not saying what they did was anything out of the ordinary, but I thought that segment was fine as far as what they wanted to achieve. But the key developments on this show, the end of the MFTs is upon us. I mean, it's been teased now for the longest time between Tama Tonga and Solo Sikoa that there was friction there, right? There were issues between the two of them. And so now the MFTs, it would appear, are no more. And I will say this, I actually find myself at least semi-interested, more so now, in what Solo Sikoa is doing or what Solo Sikoa is going to be doing now that he is no longer the head of this Teemu Bloodline faction and the MFTs have split up and Solo is on his own. He's got nobody. He's got no friends. He's got no family. He's got no partners. He's got no allies. He's tried to link up with Royce Keyes. He wants nothing to do with him. Tonight, he was trying to convince LA Knight that the two of them should be simpatico. They should be on the same side. LA Knight said, yeah, I have no interest in that. And I find myself at least intrigued with where they're going to go with Solo Sikoa in a way that I absolutely was not before when he was leading with or affiliated with the MFTs. Could not give a single solitary shit. At least now I'm interested to see where they're going to go with him. But this was a long time coming. This has been a dead group for a very long time. The other development on this show was the arrival of Blake Monroe, who has been coming now for many, many weeks. And she actually came many weeks ago. She showed up for 15 seconds on SmackDown backstage, and then all of a sudden it was back to the vignettes again. It was very strict. It's like they had second thoughts on when they wanted to debut her. And they opted to wait until they were in her hometown of London. And tonight we got the debut of Blake Monroe, and we found out who her first opponent, I guess, who her first feud is going to be with, and that will be Julia, because she came out after Julia's win over Kiana James, and she attacked Julia, who actually is someone she has a little bit of history with. And so those really were the only big developments on SmackDown tonight. The rest of this was very pedestrian, very paint-by-numbers stuff, but that's SmackDown. I've seen worse. I've seen much worse. We're going to go through the entire thing here because this is your final 3-hour SmackDown review. It is Friday night. It is June 26th, 2026. I am your minister here, or whatever. I don't know what I am, but I am the Solomon, so that's who I am. And I'm very happy that you were joining me here on a Friday night. So grab a drink or a snack or don't. I don't give a shit. As long as you just hang out with us, that's all that matters. Like and subscribe. Super chats are open, so if you want to get them on in, I will be reading all of your messages. If you would like to eulogize 3 hours of SmackDown, if you have thoughts on the death of 3 hours of SmackDown, feel free to share with the rest of the class. And we'll be reading your messages a little bit later on. Now, let's bust out the wheel. This is what we do. And we're going to spin the wheel, and we're going to find out here exactly how many likes we need to do, hopefully. Hopefully. Be the booker tonight. See, I had to dress for the occasion. It's just how I do things. 475 likes. You like? Yes. Yes. The master of ceremonies tonight. Can't simply, the microphone's blocking my tie, but 475 likes is what we need. We are currently at 236. So that is the goal for tonight. Now let's get into this here. I gotta go live again in like less than how many hours away? 1 o'clock Eastern it starts, probably 4:30 probably. Yeah, something like that. Preach, minister Solo. Thank you, my brother.
Hey everybody, it's Tuesday somewhere, and we hope to see you listening to the Giant Bombcast. We're Independent Games Media, and you can find us hooligans every Tuesday discussing the newest video game releases or whatever we're currently into.
We also discuss all the biggest stories in the world of games. Collectively, we have decades of experience covering the biggest companies and sneaky little indie darlings, but we also have years of experience being a cool hang. The Giant Bombcast is like listening to your friends goof and gab about the games and stories that matter to them and you.
Giant Bombcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Was the 3 hours of SmackDown cremated or buried? Oh, there have been a lot of people that have been buried over these last 6 months on these 3-hour SmackDowns, but I would say it was cremated tonight. Michael Cole joined Corey Graves on commentary in place of Joe Tessitore, who they said was off to do Zuffa boxing. Yeah, every time they mention Zuffa box, I could not possibly give a shit. But they're hyping it so much because, of course, it falls under the TKO banner. Nick Khan is involved. I don't give a shit. Every time they show a Zuffa boxing fighter on screen and nobody reacts... Yeah, they're going to try to shovel that shit down your throat as much as possible because they're trying to create something. So he was off doing Zuffa boxing, or getting ready to anyway. Trick Williams was out to the ring to open the show with Lil Yachty. He said last week he was in Jamaica with Lash Legend because the two of them got married, which is true. Congrats to the newlywed couple. The fans cheered. Lash Legend was not there tonight. He was. Not sure why, but he called it the best day of his life. Now back to business. He promised to whoop Ricky Saints' ass at Night of Champions because he's going to be defending the United States Championship against him on that show. And that brought out Ricky Saints. Says he doesn't give their marriage much time. Trick then threatened to smack him down to London Bridge if he keeps running his mouth. Trick must still be hungover from the wedding, says Ricky. Tomorrow he takes the U.S. title. Ricky asked if his little friend came with the championship, referring to Lil Yachty, who objected to this, but as Yachty began speaking, Ricky cheap-shotted him right in the mouth, and he ran out of the ring. And Trick turned his back to go check on Yachty, so Ricky slipped back into the ring. He hit Trick in the head with the microphone, and then again, he ran off. So this was very, very basic stuff as far as go-home segments are concerned. I don't think that Ricky has much chance of walking out of Riyadh with the championship tomorrow, but this is his first singles match on a PLE. It's a big platform for him. It's a big opportunity for him. He needs to go out there, and he needs to have a good match because the spotlight will be on him. Now, I know it's an undercard match. Maybe they'll get 8 minutes, but still, first singles match on a PLE. I don't know when the next time is. Ricky Saints is going to have a singles match on a PLE, so hopefully he'll be able to make the most of it. Now, we got highlights from Charlotte Flair being attacked backstage last week by Jade Cargill and the Baddies, who injured her knee. And that ultimately cost Charlotte her Queen of the Ring match against Liv Morgan, who is going to the finals. Jackie Redmond interviewed Alexa Bliss backstage, who said that Charlotte is home dealing with not only the physical pain, but the emotional toll. The emotional strain of what happened to her last week. Tonight, she gets revenge for her, even if it means she has to team up with, and then in walks Tiffany Stratton, who says that she only cares about getting through her match tomorrow with Jade and beating Jade. Alexa says she knows Tiffany and Charlotte have history, but she happened to help them before, and so she's just here to return the favor. And so, it was Tiffany Stratton and Alexa Bliss as tag team partners taking on Meechin and B-Fab. Late in the match, Bliss got sent over the barricade into the timekeeper's area by Meechin. Inside, Tiffany was setting up for the prettiest moonsault ever to B-Fab. She got as high up as the middle rope before Jade appeared, and she tripped her up. And so Tiffany fell backwards. Referee did not see this because he was occupied with Meechin. And B-Fab pins Tiffany Stratton. Yes, indeed, B-Fab just got a pinfall win here over the United States champion with her finish. I don't know what she calls it, but she starts out in a neckbreaker position and then basically twists into a facebuster, which seems like a lot of work. I don't know why you would just not hit a facebuster. Whatever she calls it, it was effective, and she picked up the win here. By the way, I've been calling them the Baddies. A lot of people have been calling them the Baddies. That's what Jade's minions were called in AEW. But now WWE appears to officially be referring to them as the Baddies, because Corey Graves called them that multiple times here on this show. So apparently now that's officially a thing. After the match, Jade and her crew, they were stalking Tiffany, who was in the corner. She was outnumbered when Chelsea Green ran out with a kendo stick, and she made the save. She hit B-Fab in the aisleway. She gets up on the apron. She goes to climb into the ring. The kendo stick, though, was vertical. So as she tried to enter the ring, it basically bounced off the ropes and then flew out of her hands and landed on the ground outside. So she was stickless, and this was not going to end well for Chelsea Green. But even without the stick, though, she was able to hold her own. She low-bridged Jade out to the floor, and Chelsea, Tiffany, and Alexa, they all posed together in the ring when it was over. Chelsea looks like she's finally growing on Tiffany Stratton. She's winning her over. Now, backstage later, Jade was very upset about this. She demanded that Nick Aldis book her in a match
against Chelsea Green tonight. She goes, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. And so he did. Now, there was no Charlotte Flair on this show. She was out selling the injury. I have every expectation that we are going to see her tomorrow at Night of Champions. If there's one thing that will motivate somebody to fly halfway across the world, as I believe Kevin Owens did or AJ Styles did many years ago, it is revenge. And so Jade cost Charlotte the opportunity to go all the way to the finals of the Queen of the Ring. I think it only makes sense for Charlotte to show up and do something to screw Jade out of the crown. Or not the crown, but I guess the U.S. Championship would be her crown. But basically screw her out of the title tomorrow. And then they can go off and they can start building to Charlotte and Jade, which I'm sure is going to be the SummerSlam match. They recap Solo Sikoa coming out last week during Tama Tonga and Tala Tonga's tag team championship match with Damian Priest and R-Truth, which Tama Tonga in no uncertain terms had told him, do not do that. Stay in the back. We don't want you out there. We don't need you out there. You're preoccupied. You have other things going on with the family. You have other things going on with Roman. Let us go out there and do our thing. And of course, he came out anyway, and they ended up losing. So backstage live, Solo was with the two of them. He was laughing and bragging about what he did to Jimmy Uso on Monday. Spiked him in the throat. Remember, he cost him the match against LA Knight. And he laughed and he said, Roman ain't gonna like that. And Thomas said, we saw. And that's the problem. He goes, they're tired of getting dragged into his war. Solo's obsession with Roman is tearing this group apart. Last week, they told him to stay in the back. He didn't listen. And now they're standing there, and they don't have any tag team championships. And now he's helping LA Knight? So Tala Tonga spoke. He doesn't get the chance to do that very often. He spoke up, and he said, Solo, we heard from the elders. Uh-oh. They heard from the elders. Him and Tama, they're out. Solo said, you can't leave. And Tama told him, we just did. And they walked away, all while Solo was just left by himself, screaming at them, you can't leave me. I brought you here. Nobody leaves me except everybody. So this was, I guess we can officially call it, the end of the MFTs. Finally, at long last, the nightmare is over. The MFTs are no more. The family tree, my family tree, has been cut down. Paul Bunyan chopped that shit down. Now Solo Sikoa is all by himself. And it's interesting that if this is the end of the MFTs, which we have to assume it is, that it ends in the most anticlimactic way possible, in just a simple walk-off in a backstage segment. No big blow up in the middle of the ring or, you know, brawl or Tama Tonga gets the big babyface pot for, you know, shoving Solo away. Nothing like that. Just ends in the most anticlimactic way possible, which honestly is very on brand, I think, for the MFTs, because pretty much everything they ever did in their time on SmackDown was anticlimactic. So in a way, it kind of fits. You know, it kind of works that this is how it all comes to an end. And if this was anything that I was truly invested in, if this was a group or if this was a storyline that I could really bring myself to care about or have some sort of emotional attachment to, I would say that it was a very lame way for this to end, but I'm just glad it's over. So I'm not going to sit here and complain about the fact that they ended the MFTs the way they did. It was long overdue. Good. I'm glad to see it. Now, coming off his win over Axiom, tonight we had Rey Fénix defending his AAA Cruiserweight Championship against Axiom's partner, Nathan Frazier. They got off to a hot start, very different than what we are accustomed to seeing here on these shows on Friday nights. A little bit kind of like the Nitro formula, I guess you would say, from 30 years ago, in that if you watch those old Nitro shows, and there was a lot going on, a lot more exciting stuff going on those shows. But in terms of the in-ring, when you saw those cruiserweight matches, right, it was a very different style, a very different pace that they were working relative to all the other matches on the show. And so you would have that match maybe at the top of the hour, beginning of the show, and then they would transition into whatever. It could be a TV title match or something else. And things would sort of come back down to earth. And so, like, you watch an episode of Dynamite, right? I just reviewed Dynamite on Wednesday. You watch an episode of Dynamite, it's basically one speed. It's like if you wanted to go beyond the speed limit. Typically, let's say the speed limit is 15 miles an hour. That's SmackDown. SmackDown is 15 miles an hour. And then here come Axiom or Nathan Frazier or Rey Fénix, and they go out there, and all of a sudden, you're driving fucking 65, 70. And then the match is over, and then things slow back down to, you know, you see a cop off in the distance, and so you slow back down to 15. That's SmackDown. Whereas if you watch Dynamite any given Wednesday, you're basically cruising fucking 85 miles an hour down the road. And you don't, like, all, like, what does Jacob Fatu say? All gas, no brakes with it? Yeah, that's basically the way it works on Dynamite. The brakes don't work. It's just one speed. And so everything sort of feels the same. It's really noticeable on this show when you get a match like this, because it just, it stands out more, because everything else is just so slow. Plotting. Not two words I would use to describe this match here. As far as, you know, this guy, and look, one other thing also I'll say about Rey Fénix is I hope we get more matches like this, and I hope we get more matches like this with Rey Fénix on this show, because the guy was a ghost on SmackDown for most of the year. You know, he had that match recently with Axiom. He had this one. I don't think they have enough people to really put with him for this to last much longer. Maybe they could put him in there with, again, Angel or Birdo or something. After that, the well's going to run dry. But like I said, he's been a ghost, you know, for most of the year. So it's nice to at least see him on television. And if having the AAA Cruiserweight Championship is going to be the means for us to get more of that, then great. So be it. I mean, it's sad that it took that to get here, but here we are. There was a big high crossbody off the top by Fénix to Frazier out on the floor early in the match. Frazier came back with a flip dive of his own out onto the champion. Fénix shoved Frazier off the ropes. Frazier, though, he raced back up. He delivered a superplex. Frazier then set up for the final cut. Fénix caught him inside cradle, only for a two count. Both men, they stood up. They threw kicks at the exact same time. It left both of them down. Later on, Frazier got a Spanish fly off the middle rope into a final cut. Fénix got knocked outside. Frazier went for a suicide dive, and Fénix got out of the way, and Nathan Frazier took a very scary bump. Not onto the announce desk. He took a scary bump into the announce desk and damn near killed himself. So he got him back in the ring. Fénix went up for a frog splash and nailed it. Only got a close near fall. After which he was able to get Frazier in position for the Mexican Muscle Buster. He hit it, he pinned him, and he retained the championship. And Michael Cole, as soon as the match was over, Michael Cole referred to this as a classic. Now, I would not go that far. Okay, pump the brakes. I would not go that far. But they had an excellent sprint. And again, I hope we get to see more of this. I hope we get to see more of Fénix specifically appearing on these shows. You know, having the AAA title probably works to his advantage in that it gives him a reason to get him on the show. I think the only reason he's even on the show is because it gives them a reason to promote the AAA brand, right? They want to drive traffic to that show on YouTube every week. It's the Undertaker's baby. They want to get as many people as they can watching AAA. So we'll have a AAA champion on the show, right? Same thing with the War Raiders. They have the AAA tag team titles. This is not about pushing the War Raiders. It's about pushing the brand. They don't give a shit about Eric and Ivar. They don't give a shit about Rey Fénix. They could not be bothered to give a shit about him for the first 6 months of this year. It's about pushing the brand. That's really what it's about. But you know what? If that's what it's about, at least he can benefit from it so long as he has that championship. So long may he reign. Because after that, I don't know if we'll see him again on this show. Backstage, Byron Saxton, he was talking to Damian Priest and R-Truth. about what's next after beating the MFTs last week to retain their tag team titles. And before they could answer, wouldn't you know, the AAA tag team champions show up. It's Eric and Ivar. It's the War Raiders, who are Monday Night Raw stars, but nothing matters anymore. And so they show up and they ask for a match. They propose a match, champions versus champions, title for title. R-Truth, for whatever reason, started talking like Razor Ramon. Priest put his hand over Truth's mouth, and he told the Vikings, "We'll get back to you. We'll let you know when and where." I really hope we're not doing the double champions deal and putting the AAA belts on Priest and Truth. I really hope that's not what we're doing here. There has been talk of Damian Priest potentially doing stuff with AAA, and that's fine. But him and Truth holding the WWE tag team titles and then simultaneously holding the AAA tag team titles, no, we don't need that. Nobody asked for that. LA Knight was out next, coming off his first singles win of the year on television on Monday night over Jimmy Uso. Yes, if you can believe it, that is pathetic. But hey, a win is a win. Comes out, he says, Monday night, he and Jimmy had a battle. Unfortunately for Jimmy, he had to eat a BLT. He caught himself staring up at the lights. The one guy from the bloodline that he kind of sort of likes or respects, but even so, he got what he deserved. But an unexpected assist happened, and it's got him confused. So with that in mind, he wanted Solo Sikoa to walk his keister down to the ring. And so Solo Sikoa, in the same spiffy red blazer that he was wearing on Monday when he interfered, and this time he's all by himself, comes walking down to the ring. The crowd was singing Solo's name. I can't say that I've heard that before. I've heard them sing Roman Reigns' name. I've never heard them sing Solo Sikoa's name, but they were singing Solo's name. Look, dude's got a good babyface running him. Away from the MFT shit, he's got a good babyface running him. He's a likable guy. It's just a matter of when do they want to execute? When do they want to pull it out of him? When do they want to give him the chance to go out there and be a big babyface? So even LA Knight admitted that was kind of catchy, you know, when he heard the fans singing his name. So the two of them have had beef before. Considering what happened on Monday, he's trying to figure it all out. And Solo said he's not here to fight him. If he's looking for a fight, if LA Knight is looking for a fight, you're wasting your time. That's not why I'm here. I don't know if you watched earlier, but everybody in my family has left me. Knight says he knows that's gotta hurt, but his heart doesn't pump purple piss for him, losing his family. Purple piss, really? It's like Grimace. Does Grimace's heart pump purple piss? Maybe that was the secret to the Mets' success last season. Maybe if they bathe in purple piss, they would actually have a winning record. We're getting pretty desperate here in New York. He says all that does is leave Solo wide open to go right back to the bloodline. That's what that tells LA Knight. And that got some OTC chants from the crowd. Knight said, you want to stand around and listen to that crap? The fans were all wondering why Solo did what he did on Monday. He doesn't know if it was some kind of Roman Reigns initiation ritual. And as he's talking, at this point, Solo snaps and starts screaming. And he says he hates that family. He hates the bloodline. He hates Jacob. He hates the Usos. And he hates the OTC Roman Reigns. Now, let me stop here. What was interesting about this, because if you saw the leaked episode, as I did a few days ago, in this promo, Solo Sikoa, he clearly misspoke, and instead of saying the OTC, he called him the OCT, which you make up your own definition of what that means. So whatever, he fucked up, he called him the OCT. Here, he clear as day said it correctly and called him the OTC. And there was no weird, like, jump cut. It wasn't like they sent him back out there when the show was over, tight shot, no fans in the back. Like, the people were there. It was like he said it the right way. And I was like, huh, that's kind of interesting. Because if you watch the leaked episode, after he fucked it up, it was like a couple of segments later, they had him redo the line in the back. Not on camera. You couldn't see him, but you could hear his voice. And they just had him recut the line again and say it the right way. So I had just assumed, like, I'm going to watch the show. And at that point, they're probably going to cut away. They'll cut to, like, LA Night or something. And but we'll hear the fixed audio. But they actually had him on camera. And so it was very impressive the way that they were able to clean that up. It was very seamless. I'll give them that. But he says he hates the whole bloodline. And the only way for him to feel better is if he finishes them. But he knows there's one thing they have in common. He and LA Knight, the two of them don't like the bloodline. So Knight says that Solo should hate Roman Reigns for everything that he has done to him. It was AI. You know what? Nothing would shock me at this point if WWE AI'd the fix there. You may be right. You may very well be right. But if I'll tell you what, if it was, you couldn't tell. So good on them. But he says, you know, Solo really should hate Roman Reigns for every single thing he's done to him. But you know who else should hate Roman? Jimmy and Jay and Jacob. And, you know, what about them? Honestly, like, Roman did way more to them than he did to Solo. And look at them. They went right back into the fold. You had main event Jey Uso. Now he's baggage handler Jey Uso. And he's supposed to just trust Solo that he's not just going to go back and join them? Knight said he's seen the movie, he knows how it ends, why is this different? Solo said it's different because I got nothing to lose. He has no family, it's just him now. And Knight said, boy, that sounds familiar, it's just it's just me, Us. I feel like I've heard this before. And Solo says, the enemy of my enemy can be my friend. We can be partners, we can take out the bloodline, we can watch each other's back. So Knight said, friends, he's got some skepticism, but let him think about it, because does he hate the bloodline? Yeah. Is he outnumbered? Yeah. Does he probably need help? Yeah. Does he need Solo Sikoa standing next to him watching his back? And then Solo said, yeah. And Knight said, nah. Said he lives and dies doing things his way, and he'll live and die the only way that he can, with everybody saying, and then the crowd did their chant, and then he told Solo, thanks, but no thanks. And he left. So that is the second person now that has turned down Solo Sikoa in recent weeks, recent months. Of course, Royce Keyes, he was trying to recruit him for the MFTs. The MFTs aren't a thing anymore. Royce Keyes basically said, go fuck off. And LA Knight, in so many words, said the same thing here in this segment. In fact, if this was in the Attitude Era, that's exactly what he would have said. He would have said, fuck off, and he would have walked away. And so I find myself, you know, again, watching what they're doing with Solo over the last, I don't know, three weeks maybe or so. And I find myself more intrigued with Solo Sikoa as a character and where this could potentially go with him than I have in 6, 8, 9 months, whatever it's been, of the MFTs and him leading the pack with that Wish version of the bloodline. They never took the time and put the effort in my opinion. Maybe there's some diehard MFT fan out there who was devastated tonight. It's bad enough they're losing 3 hours of SmackDown, but my God, they lost the MFTs too. Somebody talk this person off the fucking ledge, right? I don't know. Maybe there is somebody out there like that. Very weird. But what I can tell you, as someone who watches this show every single week, they did fuck all. In terms of creative, right? There was nothing creative about what they did in terms of the MFTs. All the stories they did with them, Tama Tonga and Shinsuke Nakamura, the MFTs and the Wyatt, like all of this, it was such like surface level, boring bullshit. Low effort. We never heard anything from the other members of this group. We never heard from JC Mateo. We never heard anything more than a grunt from Tala Tonga. We barely heard from Tama Tonga. They took absolutely no efforts to get you invested in the characters, whether they wanted you to boo them, whether they wanted you to cheer them, fear them, whatever the case may be. Solo Sikoa, of course, he was front and center. He was the ringleader of this circus. But they just never bothered to flesh out the rest of the group. And so they would wrestle, right? They were the ones who were out there. Solo, most of the time, was in their corner. And they would be out there and wrestling the crickets because nobody cared. We didn't know anything about them. That was the fun of the Bloodline, right? When the Bloodline was rolling, the Bloodline was cooking the first time out. And I will maintain that that is the biggest reason why the MFTs failed. But I think it probably failed by design. I don't think they wanted to. Because they knew, like, the MFTs is not the Bloodline, right? The goal was never to create the second Bloodline on SmackDown. They wanted to have this offshoot to give Solo something to do. Maybe to get to this point. Because maybe they have a longer-term plan for Solo Sikoa, and it was never about the other guys. They just wasted our time. That's why I will not miss the MFTs. And for the sake of Tama Tonga and Tala Tonga, I hope they could find something else for them to do. I would say for those two, yeah, they're not in a good spot right now. They're kind of on the bubble. You know, they could easily fall through the cracks or worse. If you want to keep them together as a tag team, you have no tag team division. You have some teams, but you have no real division. Tag team wrestling is dead in WWE. So if they were to keep those two together, I'm not sure that that's honestly going to be much better for them. Frankly, I don't know where they go, but the focus is not on them. The focus is obviously on Solo Sikoa. Now we go to the back with Byron Saxton, and he is with Sami Zayn, who said last week he did what anybody else would have done, but nobody seems to get that. Nobody except him. And the camera then panned over to the him that he was referring to, and it's Johnny Gargano, who is once again planking. Very good. They cut back to Sammy. Says his mother always told him good things happen to good people. And now he's about to wrestle for the WWE Championship. The last few months haven't been good to him, and it all started when he had a chance to win the title in Saudi Arabia at the Royal Rumble, and he lost. But because he stayed true to himself, he stayed good. And now the universe has given him the chance to redeem himself. And as soon as he said that, it's like he had this eureka moment. He had this revelation. He said, I'm going to become the WWE champion. And I said, don't say that out loud. You're my pick to win tomorrow. You're my prediction. It's like when the announcers, before a pinfall, they go, oh, he's going to win the title. And of course, he never does. You can't just come right out and say that, because now it's not going to happen. But he's convinced he's going to become the WWE champion tomorrow. We had Paige returning home, out with Brie Bella for a singles match against JC Jane, who came out with Fallon Henley and Lainey Reed. Paige hit a cannonball dive off the apron that took out the other two members of Fatal Influence. JC, though, caught Paige with a PK from the apron. That took us into a commercial. So late in the match, Jane caught Paige in a backslide, used the ropes for leverage. Brie Bella, though, pushed her legs off. And so here come Fatal Influence. They're coming over to Brie. They're going to beat up Brie Bella. And Brie dropped Fallon with a punch. Lainey then ran Brie into the ring post. Lainey got up on the apron. She ate a punch from Paige, who got rolled up for a two count. And then Paige returned the favor and did the same, but her roll up worked. And she got a three count on JC Jane. And so Paige picks up the win here in London. Now, look, I get wanting to give Paige a win in England. I get it. I don't even have an issue with that. That's fine. My issue is with why did it have to be JC Jane? And I understand that they're working some sort of angle here where Fatal Influence may well end up winning the tag team titles from these two women. And so they're all kind of involved. But now look at what we've seen with these four women over the last few weeks. Fatal Influence had a tag team match with Paige and Brie Bella, non-title, and they lost. They could not beat the champions in a non-title match, right? Which doesn't typically earn you a championship match. So now the ringleader, JC Jane, goes in there for a singles match with Paige, and she gets beat. So So now all the members of Fatal Influence have lost to Paige and Brie Bella, and I fail to see, I mean, again, it's not going to kill them unless this continues, but I'm just looking at this, I'm going, man, Fatal Influence, the way they debuted them was pretty good, and now they've taken a step back. That's what I really don't understand here. They've now defeated all three members of Fatal Influence, but you know they're just going to keep this going until they eventually win. I would hope. I mean, with this administration, who the hell knows? But you would assume that eventually they'll pick up a win. To the back we go. We go to Danhausen's Science Lab, where Miz and Kit Wilson were still all fucked up from being electrocuted a few weeks ago. You know, Miz's hair is all poofed up, and he's got this silver streak going down it like a skunk. And it reminds me of that Vince McMahon look from a year or two ago when he was, you know, with the hair, he looked like Pepe Le Pew. I guess that's the look that Miz was going for because now he's got the same hairstyle. Here's what I want to know. How are these men in this condition able to travel from one place to the next by themselves? I mean, they're zombified, basically. You know, Miz was eaten by zombies many years ago. I remember it. I reviewed that show. God, those pandemic era shows. There was something else. You know, at this point, as bad as things are generally week to week on this show, I'm not so sure that that's actually worse than the shows are now. At least back then, you got a lot of wild shit. It was kind of funny to talk about. Anyway, Matt Cardona walked in and he thanked Danhausen for helping the New York Knicks win the NBA Finals. But last week, he got shocked in Danhausen's lab, and all of a sudden, his fist is twitching, and he's got this sudden urge to move back to Long Island, and he keeps chanting, woo. What's going on? So Danhausen noticed Miz and Wilson, all of a sudden, they were gone. So he went off to go look for them, and Cardona's in there by himself. And so Los Garza walks in, and they are looking for Freakhausen, who still owes them money. He still owes Los Garza the Paul Heyman of the tag team division. So they want their money. Cardona tells them, I don't know where he is. So they leave. And then Cardona tried to peek under the sheet at Baron Corbin's rotting corpse. But before he could actually lift up the sheet, Danhausen, we heard Danhausen's voice, and he told him, don't touch that. How much longer is this gag going to go on for? It's been weeks of this. This week's episode is sponsored by Wix. It can be hard to break through all the noise these days if you're a small business owner, which is why you want to make sure you've got the right website that's going to grab people's attention. With Wix Harmony, you can do just that. Build and customize your website to look and feel exactly the way that you want it to. And you could do so without being an expert in coding. You'll just have other people thinking you are. Wix Harmony is an AI website builder that allows you to get your website up fast, making sure that it stays true to your vision of what you want it to be. Its AI capability is the secret sauce here, but even with the AI component, you still have the ability to go hands-on with your site and customize it to your liking. The two go hand in hand. They complement one another. Aria, your personal AI agent, is there to help answer your questions and get important things done. You have the power to click anywhere on your site and ask her to make changes instead of wasting time entering prompt after prompt. Then you can move things around as you see fit, if you wish, to get the perfect website. It's just that simple. So I don't know what you're waiting for. Join the more than 280 million businesses around the world that already use Wix and try Wix Harmony right now to see for yourself at wix.com/harmony. That's wix.com/harmony. After a break, Tama Tonga and Tala Tonga, there we go. Fuck! They were wheeling their suitcases out of the arena. They were on their way out when they ran into Finn Balor, who said that it was good to see them, especially Tama. Finally making your own decisions, he says. It reminds him of the Tama that he used to run with. Tama said, we did used to run together, but that was a long time ago. Said, you know, Shinsuke's from my past too, and we all know how that went. And with that, they rolled on out, leaving Balor behind. Which reminds me, we have not seen Shinsuke Nakamura, I believe, since he wrestled Tala Tonga on SmackDown about a month ago. I don't believe we've seen him since. Maybe he's the one who's laying under the sheet in Danhausen's lab. He's going to try to resuscitate Nakamura's career. Nakamura's going to pop out from under the sheet thinking he's still wrestling for New Japan Pro Wrestling. So Danhausen got an entrance, and he made his way out to the ring, flanked by Miz and Kit Wilson. Miz was walking around like Frankenstein, bumping into shit. Danhausen was here, he said, to welcome us to the most must-see show of all time, Danhausen TV. And his guests, he said, were the Legion of Danhausen. He asked Miz, how do you feel about Danhausen replacing you on your own TV show? And Miz said, awesome. He asked Kit Wilson, London's own Kit Wilson, how he feels about Los Garza destroying Danhausen's experiments. And he said, toxic, toxic, toxic. This is riveting television. So that brought out Los Garza. And they immediately attacked Miz and Wilson. They knocked them out of the ring. That left Danhausen all alone by himself until Matt Cardona ran out for the save. And now it was even. And so Nick Aldis walks out. And he got a nice little pot for being back in the UK. And he booked the obligatory tag team match, which was Danhausen and Matt Cardona against Los Garza. Miz and Wilson, they just wandered around ringside aimlessly throughout the match as the match was in progress. Again, like zombies. Cardona hit a broski boot. He set it for a Rough Rider, but he got cut off. So Angel grabbed a chair at ringside. And Miz, he stood in front of him blocking his path every time he tried to get back in the ring. And he wasn't doing it on purpose. It's just, he's in the way. And so Angel wound up, he was going to hit him with a chair, the chair that he had in his hand. Wilson, who I believe had been knocked over the timekeeper's barricade, was standing in the timekeeper's area. And he reaches over, he grabs the chair out of Angel's hand and snatches it away from him. Ryder hit Angel with a Rough Rider on the floor. Meanwhile, in the ring, Birdo climbed to the top. And Danhausen on the mat below, he sat up like the Undertaker. And he cursed him. And as he curses Birdo, Pyro shoots out from the ring post. We've seen this before. And it blinds him. It distracts him. And poor Birdo, he loses his balance and he crashes and burns on the mat. And Danhausen picks him up and hits a Scorpion Death Drop. And he pins him. You know, with the Danhausen stuff, you kind of know what to expect, right? It's the lighthearted comedy on the show. He goes out there. He's over. Like, wait until they get to Madison Square Garden in a few weeks. He'll be the most over guy on that show. He's like a hero now in New York. So the fans love him. And they're entertained by him. And it's very interesting because, like, the majority of the mid-card on SmackDown are now linked in some way to Danhausen, right? Miz, Kit Wilson, Cardona, Los Garza. They'll probably add more people to the list as well. And it gives these people in the mid-card who otherwise would have nothing to do, at least it gives them a reason to kind of be associated with someone who is over, which is the best thing I could say about it. It gives them a reason to be out there and involved in something that the fans, at least in the arenas, appear to be entertained by. And if they want to consolidate all of that into like one match or one segment on the show every week, I don't see the harm in that. Is it silly? Is it stupid? Is it dumb fun? Yes. But, you know, you need a little bit of that on the show. And if this is what they want to use Danhausen for, then that's probably the best way to use Danhausen, because you're not going to use Danhausen as any sort of serious figure on the show. What are you going to do? You're going to have Danhausen out there challenging Trick Williams for the United States Championship? What are you going to have him do? Drew McIntyre is going to come back. He's going to feud with Danhausen. I mean, give me a fucking break. He's doing exactly what he should be doing. Backstage, Byron Saxton interviewed Gunther. I don't know why that's what a weird autocorrect that is here. It says Gumby. Yeah, I don't know why in my notes. Did I write that? Am I that tired? That had to be autocorrect. Well, anyway, Byron Saxton interviewed Gumby in the back and asked for his asked for his reaction to Sami Zayn saying the WWE Championship match in Night of Champions was his shot at redemption. And Gunther said that if there's anyone who needs redemption, it's him after being screwed twice out of the WWE Championship. So Byron then brought up Gunther's win-loss record against Cody Rhodes. It's not really that good. Yeah, he has yet to beat Cody Rhodes. I would say so. I would say that's not a good win-loss record. Gumby, the new WWE. Hey, you know what? I think we could do a hell of a lot worse than Gumby. His name is Jey Uso. Too bad Gumby isn't in the King of the Ring. I'll take Gumby. You imagine like Gumby in the King of the Ring finals against Obafemi, and here comes Pokey from behind. You know, there's a bunch of like younger people listening and watching this right now going, what the fuck is he talking about? That makes me sad. But I know some of you will get the reference. So anyway, Gunther got upset about all this. He said, look, I was screwed twice. And tomorrow it's going to go down very different at Night of Champions. And how? That's something I'm going to tell Cody later. So then, after this, we had Jade Card. There were people asking who were just tuning in, like, why is he in a suit? And to find out why, see, we had to eulogize 3 hours of SmackDown earlier in the stream, so you missed the funeral ceremony. You could always go back and watch it later. We had to memorialize the end of 3 hour SmackDowns. That's why I had a dress for the occasion here, for those wondering. Jade against Chelsea Green. There was a spot in this match where Jade came charging into the corner very slowly, and Chelsea barely got out of the way, and then Chelsea started throwing punches that were so weak, even the announcers had no choice but to acknowledge how awful these punches looked. And they were questioning how effective they were. That's the polite way of saying that these punches look like shit. So I don't know what the hell happened here. Maybe somebody got knocked a little loopy for a second. I don't know. That's the feeling I generally get when I watch these television shows. Later on, Chelsea landed a missile dropkick. Jade was able to avoid an attempt at an unprettier. And then she caught Chelsea with a pump kick. And then she hit Jaded for the win. That suit looks very hot. Believe me, it is very hot in here right now. You know, we're heading for a heat wave next week. We're going to have 3 consecutive days where it's going to be 90 or above. We may hit 100 degrees next week. Boy, those are going to be some fun streams. Can't wait. So after the match, Jade continued the attack on Chelsea. Tiffany Stratton and Alexa Bliss, they ran out, causing Jade to powder out to the floor. But here comes B-Fab and Meechan, and they attack Stratton and Bliss. Jade got back in the ring, and she dropped Tiffany with Jaded. I would think that's good news for Tiffany tomorrow. Not so much for Jade. Byron Saxton attempted to interview not Gumby, but Solo Sikoa. Not as cool as Gumby, but he tried to interview Solo in the back. He said, Solo's family left him, and it now truly feels like Solo is all alone. What are your thoughts? And Solo didn't get a word out before he turned and Royce Keyes was standing there. And he had a smile on his face and he said, you know, Jacob is coming for you. And Solo said, so, are you going to help me like I helped you? And Keyes just smiled and he slapped his back and he wished him luck. And then he walked away. And Solo muttered to himself, I don't need luck, I need help. Backstage, Jackie Redmond interviewed Trick Williams and Lil Yachty. Lil Yachty did the talking at first. He said, we'll admit that we were looking past Ricky Saints, but now they're looking right at him. And Trick said that he's sick and tired of pretending like he and Ricky are on the same level. Trick said that he's bigger, he hits harder, he's smarter, he works harder, he's smoother than him, he's prettier than him too. Trick said Night of Champions would be the night of Trick Williams. Let's talk about it. We finally got the one-on-one match that they have been building towards now for many months. It's all built to this occasion here, where we had Julia and Kiana James going one-on-one. Julia went up top, James cut her off, slammed her down. Then she hit a Falcon Arrow for a near fall. Kiana was able to avoid the Arrivederci knee strike and then delivered a power bomb for a near fall. Kiana was setting Julia up for something on the ropes, I don't know what, and Julia was able to counter out into a sunset bomb. Julia finally connects with the Arrivederci knee and then followed up with the Northern Lights bomb for the win. Hey, look at that. She got the win. That's good. That's good. Now the bad news. See, I try to give you the good news first, just to soften the blow before I give you the bad news. The bad news is nobody gave a shit. Nobody cared. And that's terrible, considering that these two have been paired up now for many months, and you would hope to have more crowd investment in this, considering this was the first time that they were butting heads and going one-on-one, and for the vast majority of this match, nobody cared. They didn't even bother piping in crowd noise for this. It was just like, it is what it is. And unfortunately, and I say this as a fan of Julia as well, I mean, I'm a fan of both these women. I actually think Kiana has the higher ceiling in WWE than Julia does. But that being said, you have to admit, right, that when Julia goes out there, there's just this sense of apathy from the crowds. Like, this is not the same woman who we saw in NXT getting those reactions, having those matches. They're like two different people, you know? So it's sad. It's just sad that they just cannot seem to get these people to invest in this woman in the way that I'm sure by now they would have hoped, you know, they would be invested. And then we weren't done yet, because Blake Monroe ran out. She has arrived. She has finally come. She's been coming for weeks, but now she finally came. Blake Monroe attacks Julia from behind as she's getting her hand raised at the end of this match, and she puts the boots to her, and then she gives her a Cesaro-style neutralizer. I guess maybe that's going to be her finish. And then she pranced around the ring to, I would say, more of a positive reaction than a negative one. More of a positive reaction than Julia got. But again, she's from London. I would have expected her to get the hometown, you know, love from the fans who knew that. I think Blake is a good opponent for Julia. They've already worked together. It was only one match, but they worked a match in Stardom together about 3 years ago. So they have at least some familiarity with each other already. And obviously, this is not going to end well for Julia. They're not debuting Blake Monroe, I don't believe, and having her lose to Julia. So it's going to be an L. But I think that, you know, I'm trying to be optimistic here. It's good that Julia is finally separated away from Kiana, and that Kiana is separated away from Julia. And they could be done with this. They could be done with each other, and they can move on to whatever the next phase is going to be for them. I've said before, like, if it were up to me, and honestly, maybe even more so now that Asuka is gone, Asuka and Kairi are gone, I would move Julia to Raw. It would give her a whole new roster of women for her to work with, whether you want to use her as a heel or a babyface. I would move her to Raw because I believe that a change of scenery might just be what she needs. You know, you may run into the same issues where, again, you have to educate the fans about why they should care. You know, she has to go out there and have matches that people are going to want to see so that they'll react to her. You have to give her more promo time, because the only way she's going to get better at it is by being able to go out there in front of a live crowd and cut promos. But I think doing that on Raw is probably, you know, the better option. It's weird how things flip so quickly, where a few months ago, I would have said, man, look at this Raw women's division compared to SmackDown. SmackDown's dying on the vine. And the SmackDown women's division now has been bolstered. It's stronger now than it was before. And the Raw women's division is the one that could really use some help. And maybe sending Julia over there can be a mutually beneficial thing. Raw gets another woman, and she gets a change of scenery and some new opponents to work with. She could work with the Judgment Day. As far as Kiana, I'll say this about Kiana. I believe that Kiana's ceiling is going to be higher in this company than Julia's. I think that she will end up attaining more success. I feel like they are very high on her. I know they haven't done a whole lot with her yet. But Kiana's very good, and she can talk. You know, she's got that confidence that she projects. Very athletic. I think she'll do well. It comes down to creative. The creative, man. The creative can destroy you. If you don't have the right creative to back you up, it's sad, but I mean, it's ruined careers before. So I just hope they can, you know, line up some good feuds for her and then let her go out there and show what she can do. But it's not like her losing here is a sign that they're giving up on her. I think they just honestly wanted to feed Julia a win to set up for Blake's debut. Honestly, I think that was, like, in their mind, the most important thing. Let's get her a win. And so that way we'll have Blake work with her, and then Blake can beat Julia. And to close the show, we got the WWE champion, QB1, as he loves to call himself, Cody Rhodes, out to the ring. He didn't get to say a whole hell of a lot before he was interrupted by Sami Zayn. And he, as he was walking down to the ring, he had a mic. He thanked all of his ride or die fans for their support, but that's not why he's here. He needed to say this face to face, man to man, to Cody, even friend to friend, even if Cody doesn't see him that way. He had to tell him what happened last week when he was the guest referee. He regrets how some of that went down. He says, yes, he was provoked, but he's a good guy. He's the last real good guy. And he should have been better. So he regrets that the fast count was needed. He regrets hitting the official. And he regrets knocking Cody out with the WWE Championship. He said that was a mistake. Cody cut him off. He goes, was it a mistake? And Sammy says, yes, it was. But now, you know, we're about to wrestle for the WWE Championship. And I just need you to know this is not how I wanted it. And Cody cuts him off with the enough. He loves doing that. Sammy, this is exactly what you wanted. You're wrestling for the WWE title in a country that loves you in a match where I don't even have to be pinned to lose my championship. So things are really going your way, right? The stars are really aligning here for Sami Zayn. He goes, you're no victim. You are exhausting. I guess that's something that Sami Zayn has in common with 3 hours of SmackDown. Something he can't wrap his head around, though, is that Sami is best friends with Kevin Owens, because there's two main differences between them. Kevin Owens would say whatever he has to say to his face and then stab him in the front, not the back. And the other, at least Kevin Owens has been WWE champion. I was a little taken aback by this comment, and I thought about this, and I said, are they, and it was probably just a comment that Cody made, but the title that Kevin Owens held was the Universal Championship. Kevin Owens has never been the WWE champion before. He has challenged numerous times against Roman Reigns and against Cody Rhodes, and he has failed every single time he has challenged to be the WWE champion, to the point where he was walking around with the Winged Eagle belt pretending to be the champion, even though he never actually won it. But I guess the WWE title and the Universal title were merged, right? They were unified. So I don't know. I mean, maybe in their eyes, that technically makes Kevin Owens now a former WWE champion because he was a Universal champ, which would be so stupid if that's honestly how they view things. Yeah, I did a double take on that. I said, really? I don't remember Kevin Owens ever winning the WWE Championship. He should have been the WWE Champion, but it was not meant to be. So Sammy told Cody, look, you keep Kevin Owens' name out of your mouth. And if you want to go low, let's go low. If it wasn't for me, Gunther would be the WWE Champion right now. And instead of chastising me, you should be on your hands and knees thanking me. And after Night of Champions, the reason that you will not be WWE champion will also be because of me. Cue Gunther's music. He's done listening to this. So he comes down to the ring and he says he doesn't give a shit about all this drama. He just wants the title that's over Cody's shoulder. But Sammy's right about one thing. If Sammy didn't screw him, he would be the WWE champion right now, and Cody knows that. But he said Sammy's also very wrong about something, claiming that he's leaving Night of Champions with the title because he's not. And as a referee, he caused a lot of damage to him. But as a wrestler, he's a non-factor to Gunther. Because let's face it, Sammy has never been WWE champion, and he never will be. And for Cody, enjoy your last night as the Golden Boy, because I'm going into SummerSlam to wrestle the King of the Ring, not you. So that brought out... Now, these are all three men that are in the championship match tomorrow. And you would think that, okay, we're going to end with these men here, because this was about their match, right? It's about their main event tomorrow. But he said the key word. He said the trigger word there, did Gunther. He specifically mentioned, I'm going to be the one wrestling the King of the Ring. And the reason that was scripted that way is so that we can get the finalists in the King of the Ring to come out. And so that brought out Jey Uso, who did not come through the crowd. He came down the aisle. Everybody was yeeting. He comes down to the ring. And he was about to run it back. Gunther cut that off, which is more than Obafemi did on Monday. Remember Obafemi on Monday? He's like, basically he was talking shit to Jey, like, we're not going to have that. And Jey just fucking ran it back anyway. And Oba didn't do anything. Gunther was like, yeah, we're not doing that shit. So he didn't run it back. Jey said that he was going to keep it short and sweet, which is the only way that he can cut promos, because he's so blown up by the time he gets out there. It can't be any other way. Tomorrow night, he's punching his ticket to SummerSlam when he becomes the King of the Ring. And he looks at Cody. And he says, Cody, look, you said you're easy to find. I'm going to pull up on you at SummerSlam. That's your warning shot. Bam! And he looks at Sami Zayn and he says, you my dog, but if you get it, that means I got to get you too. That's your warning shot. Bam! And then he looks at Gunther. And he says, I almost want it to be you. You gets no warning shot, because I'm going to do you the way I did you at WrestleMania for the World Championship, and I tapped your ass out like a little bitch, which they censored on the USA Network and I think Netflix feed, but in the leaked video, it wasn't bleeped. So that's what he said. Gunther heard enough. He went after him. Cody tried to pull Gunther off of Jey. Sammy, though, pulls Cody off of Gunther, which earned Sammy a kick to the face from Gunther. Jey with a super kick to Gunther, and then a double super kick from Cody and Jey sent Gunther out to the floor. Then it came down to Cody and Jey, and they were squaring up until the lights went out. And out comes Obafemi. So Obafemi struts his way down to the ring, gets up on the apron. Cody's in the middle of the ring. Jey is in the ring too. Jey super kicks Cody. So now Jey is having a stare down here with Oba, the two finalists in the King of the Ring tomorrow, until Gunther gets back inside. And he flattens Jey with a lariat. Now we got Gunther and Oba in a stare down here. There's a match for you. Gunther picks up the WWE Championship. He walks towards Oba, who's still on the apron. Sami Zayn, though, sneaks up from behind Gunther. He rips the title out of his hand, and he blasts him in the head with it. But now Cody is back. So he grabs Sammy from behind. He hits Crossroads. Cody went to go pick up the WWE Championship. Oba now steps into the ring. And Cody did the dramatic look up at the big guy as he got back to his feet. And Michael Cole pointed out that these two men have unfinished business. Cody held up the championship and they played his music. And he and Oba refused to take their eyes off one another as the show went off the air. I thought that it was a perfectly fine closing segment, perfectly fine last little bit of hype for the two biggest matches really on the card tomorrow. Obviously, the WWE title match is going to close the show, as it should. Because think about it. I mean, there's really only two things that people are talking about. Everybody is talking about, everyone who's going to be watching this show and who cares about any of this, is either talking about who's going to win the triple threat match. Are they going to do a title change? Is Sammy going to get the belt? Is Cody going to keep the belt, right? They're talking about that match, or they're talking about the King of the Ring. Is Brock going to cost Oba? Is Jey Uso going to win the crown? Oh my God, anything but Jey Uso. Like, they're all talking about one or the other. And so this was a way to shine a spotlight on that. It's not really about anything, even the cage match. Like, no one's talking about the cage match. No one's talking about Queen of the Ring. No one's talking about Tiffany and Jade. It's all about these two matches tomorrow. That's what the conversation is about. After this show, my takeaway from this, I didn't get the sense that they have the balls to take the belt off Cody right now and put the belt on Sammy, which is what I would do. I got the opposite sense when this was over. I got the sense that they're probably not taking the belt off Cody. Oba and Jey, it really can go either way. You know, whatever you think about how we got here, and this is not the strongest final. It's not the final I would have booked in the King of the Ring, I could tell you that. But here we are. This is the match that we've been dealt. And so I can't really sit here and tell you one way or the other. I feel strongly 100% that Oba's going to win or 100% that Jey's going to win. I can tell you 100% in my mind that we're going to get a Brock Lesnar appearance. That does not necessarily mean, though, that it's going to cost Oba. He may try to, and maybe it backfires, maybe it fails, you know, and Oba wins anyway. And then they go with the rumored idea, the pitch to, you know, have Oba wrestle on both nights of SummerSlam. And he has two matches that weekend instead of one, which is a very real possibility right now. Because I just cannot see Brock having any other match on that show but Oba. But if Oba loses, that only leaves one outcome. And it's an outcome that I don't really want to think about, which is Jey Uso winning King of the Ring and challenging for one of the two top championships in the probably night two. Although, you know what? I can't say that because when, you know, Roman is the champion, when Roman has that title, that is the top title. So I don't know what that night two main event is going to be. It really does, I guess, come down to who Roman is going to work with. If Roman is working with, let's say, Seth Rollins, that's probably your night one main event. If they were going to do Roman and Oba, then that has to be night two because Oba would probably wrestle Brock on night one. So it really does come down to, like, who wins King of the Ring and then whatever championship they fight for, who does the other champion get? And then we'll be able to get a better sense of, like, what that night one main event is going to look like and who's going to get the night two spot. So we'll see. But I will say this much. I'll pay this a compliment here. It does feel more unpredictable to call those two matches than the top two matches we have at Forbidden Door on Sunday. There's a busy wrestling weekend coming up. So you got Night of Champions tomorrow, and then you got Slammiversary, you got Great American Bash, and you got Forbidden Door. All back to back to back, basically. I mean, there's overlap between some of them, but one right after the other on Sunday. And on that Forbidden Door show, the top two matches are this fucking 12-man 6-on-6 cage match and the finals of the men's Owen Hart tournament with Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland. There's no way Will Ospreay is losing that match. And there's no way that MJF is going to beat Team Briscoe because we know Mark Briscoe is going to get a shot at MJF's belt. His team has to win the match to do that. Those two matches are highly predictable in that way. I can't say that about the triple threat tomorrow or the King of the Ring final. It genuinely could go either way. So I at least like that. I like that they're not 100% predictable. I know some people in the chat will be like, come on, Solomonster. You know Jey Uso is winning. I don't, though. Maybe I'm just being optimistic. I cannot sit here and tell you for sure that, of course, Jey Uso is going to win the King of the Ring. He may not. So there is more, at least, unpredictability to that. But with that, so ends the 3-hour era of SmackDown, at least for the next 6 months. Rest in piss to 3 hours of SmackDown. You will not be missed. Now, tomorrow, as I said, is Night of Champions. I will be live when the show is over. The show kicks off at 1 p.m. Eastern time, and I'll be live on YouTube here immediately after the show. Let me run through the card real quick here and just give you my predictions Tiffany Stratton is going to be defending her women's United States Championship against Jade Cargill. I think we'll see Charlotte Flair. I do not expect that we are going to be getting a new champion, so this should be a retention for Tiffany. The men's U.S. title, not going anywhere. Trick Williams is going to pick up the win over Ricky Saints. Seth Rollins and Bron Breakker are going to do battle inside of a steel cage. I'm going with Rollins for the win. I still think there's a decent chance it's going to be Rollins and Roman at SummerSlam. So if it's going to be, then Rollins really should win this match anyway. Queen of the Ring final. Liv Morgan against Io Sky. Queen Io, put the crown on her head. Just go ahead and do it already. Io Sky is going to win that. King of the Ring. You got to have hope, right? You got to have hope. I think we get King Oba. Oba Femi will be your King of the Ring. And then the triple threat match for the WWE Championship, Cody Rhodes, Gunther, and Sami Zayn. I didn't get this impression when this show was over tonight, but I'm going to stick with my prediction. I'm going to say Sami Zayn wins the WWE Championship. That's what I would like to see. Now, if Sami Zayn does not win the WWE Championship and Cody retains, it may have to do with, you know, King of the Ring and who wins that. Cody and Jay doesn't appeal to me in the slightest. But we know CM Punk is going to be coming back very soon. Probably on that Chicago Raw, which is coming up on July 6th. And I've been saying for a while now that he should be on SmackDown. All the reports recently indicate that he is supposed to be on SmackDown, which is good. If Sami Zayn doesn't win the WWE Championship tomorrow, then that's probably his SummerSlam opponent, I would think. Unless they're going to put Punk in a title match. You know, if the King of the Ring, let's say, chooses Roman, and then they got to figure out who's going to wrestle Cody. I mean, you still could do Cody and Punk at SummerSlam. But if not, I would think Punk and Sami would be the match. And that could be a fun program. But I'm still pulling for Sami to win the championship tomorrow. And that is your Night of Champions card. And so, let us go ahead and dive into your super chats now, because I know you guys have a lot of questions. Again, if you have questions or comments about the end of 3 hour SmackDowns, let me hear them. Oh, what a night. We go from the funeral service here into a full review. As we wind down here, very hot in here right now. Joseph Stewart is having a good Friday night. I know that. And he apparently saw the new Supergirl movie and liked it. So you're the one. Yeah, I've heard that movie is not good. I have no interest in seeing it anyway, but I'm not into Superman, let alone why would I see Supergirl? I don't give a shit about Superman. What the fuck am I going to see Supergirl for? But apparently it's getting terrible reviews. But he says Toy Story 5 is his favorite movie of the year. I won't argue with you. It's not mine. It's not mine. But if it's yours, then that's a fine choice. Keep that suit warm for the King of the Ring funeral tomorrow. Well, you guys are just a bundle of joy, aren't you? Did I see Raven's recent interview where he talks about the reason why he was on the cover of the WCW NWO Revenge video game? I did not see that, actually. I did see that Perry Saturn has a new YouTube channel, and he's doing the Maven thing, you know, with the thumbnails and the topics he's covering. He did a whole video on why he can no longer, I guess, support Tommy Dreamer, whatever the title is. They know the formula. They've got the formula down. I'll say this, though. It's good to see Perry is healthy. I know he had a rough go of it a few years ago. I guess he seems to be doing okay these days. Joseph says, Raven said the guy who worked on the cover of the video game was a big fan of his and thought that he should be on the cover. Oh, it's as simple as that? I do remember him being on the cover of that game. Well, look, I mean, you never know where you may have a fan, and that person's willing to pull strings and get you on the cover of a video game. I hope he got some residuals for it. He says, do you think after appearing on the cover, that is when they should have pushed Raven to the main event in WCW? Because he was on the cover of the video game? No. I would say that if they wanted to push Raven as a main eventer, they should have had a good story for him. But, you know, again, he came along at a time when the NWO was basically hogging up all those top spots. And unless you were Sting or Goldberg, who got white hot, and Raven wasn't a babyface, there was no room for him at the top. Like, he was not going to usurp Hogan and those guys in those top spots as the top heels, you know, the top villains in the company, Hogan and all and Nash and God, who else? Well, I guess the Giants as well. And yeah, that whole crew, Savage, just wasn't going to happen. Do you think Sting should have been on the cover of the Sting? Sting, I'm sure Sting was on plenty of covers. Surfer Sting or Crow Sting? I'm a big fan of Surfer Sting, but the bigger star was Crow Sting. I know people love Wolfpack Sting. I mean, that was fine. He never should have joined the NWO. Sting in the NWO was wrong. It was just wrong. It just never should have happened. Were you a fan of the Giant in the NWO? In the NWO, I was not. No. Goldberg jackhammering him on Nitro. I do remember that because I was just like, holy shit. I was wowed when I saw that. He didn't just pick him up. Like he like held him up there too for a few seconds. It's amazing. Freakish. Do you think Kevin Nash will be remembered more for his work in WCW or as Diesel in WWE? Depends. When you say work, if you're talking in-ring work, he'll be more remembered for the in-ring stuff he did in WWE. For overall impact and character and everything else, he'll be more remembered for the NWO and his WCW, his second WCW run. I don't want to mistake that with his first run. He actually had a couple of runs. He was Oz. He was Master Blaster. Right? Master Blaster? Vinny Vegas. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. It just depends on what you're referring to, though. He said, do you think Scott Hall will be more remembered for his work in WCW or as Razor Ramon in WWE? Again, you know, same thing. As far as his in-ring work, Razor Ramon, for sure. The thing about Hall in WCW that people will remember is he was the first guy to show up to kick off the NWO angle. That's what they'll remember about Scott Hall in WCW. By that point, his personal problems were just spiraling out of control. And so he was in and out. He was in rehab. He'd come back. He'd disappear again. It wasn't a great run. If you kind of look at the totality of it, like especially the latter part of it. So I would give you a similar answer. Do you think Shawn Michaels was the best wrestler in 1996? I do. And what will Stone Cold's legacy be or be remembered for compared to The Rock's legacy? I mean, I don't know. I mean, they'll both be remembered as the top two stars of the Attitude Era. Rock now, his legacy is so much bigger than wrestling at this point, you know, with the stuff he's done in Hollywood. Austin will be remembered as the face of the most popular period, I think it's safe to say, in the history of that company. Yeah, it was the rise of Austin and the rise of Hulkamania. Those are the two. Nothing else compares. Joseph, thank you. Leo says, I'm so frustrated right now with Kiana's booking. As a fan of hers, it honestly feels like they're giving up on her. They put her in a useless tag team that did nothing for her. And they gave her no momentum going into the match with Julia, and then she got beaten to top it all off. I honestly don't know where she would go from here. I don't look at it as a death. I'm not saying it's great booking. I'm just saying I don't look at it as a death sentence for her. I still feel like they have, you know, hopes for her to be a player in that division on that show. What they're going to have her doing next, like as far as who she's going to feud with, I don't know. The key is to transition her into something as quickly as possible, though. What you don't want to do is just get into a situation where she just vanishes from TV and we don't see her at all for weeks on end. I think that would be a bad sign. Fast Eddie with the $4.99 says, Solo, TNA is having a week. And it's not stopping yet because we're about to get a 2-hour premiere of Jeff Jarrett and TNA on Dark Side of the Ring. That is true, although it's not next week. It's the week after that. Dark Side of the Ring is back. And that first night, they are opening the season with a two-parter on Jarrett and TNA. It's actually a three-parter, but they're doing the first two episodes in week one. That's on the 7th. And then part three will be the following week. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, look, I cover all the episodes every season of Dark Side of the Ring. And I mean, usually it's on a week delay. I don't have Vice TV. I don't even get to see the episodes until later in the week anyway. But I mean, these are, you know, these are evergreen topics. It's not like, oh, yeah, they have to be covered the night of. It's like, no, I mean, they're talking about shit from 20 years ago, I think. 25 years ago, 30 years ago. It's okay. But I do cover every episode, so I'll be covering those. Everyone always loved the Dark Side of the Ring episode reviews, so we're going to bring them back again. The Yatagaratsu Mrs. Zombie act is literally Vince McMahon. The walk, the mannerisms, the expression, everything. You forgot to mention the hair. The little white streak in the hair. I mean, he just... I didn't see Vince per se. He just looked like a zombie. Are you saying Vince just walks like a zombie? Okay. Super Pony. Is KO getting mentioned a tease, or am I reading too much into it? I think you're reading too much into it. I think you're reading too much into it. Now, come SummerSlam time, I don't know. Maybe we're getting a little bit closer at that point to him getting medically cleared, maybe? I believe he had surgery a year ago in July, so I'm not expecting... realistically, I'm not expecting him... Like, SummerSlam time would be the earliest, possibly. I think there's a better chance we get KO back at the end of the year. And at that point, I would just save him for the Royal Rumble if you're going to wait that long. Just save him for, like, a Rumble return. I just hope he's able to come back. Justin... Does Solo rejoin Roman, in your opinion? Is this a catalyst to The Rock coming back? And reports of Zilla coming, how does he factor into all of this? I mean, The Rock is not coming back this year. He's not coming back. Does he rejoin Roman? I still feel like at some point Solo, he's protesting a lot about how much he hates Roman. But I still feel like he's going to end up back with the family. It may take a little while, but I still feel like that's probably the end game here. Honestly. Also, no more MFTs. That is a celebration. Oh, yeah. We certainly had a little bit of a celebration here tonight. It's about damn time. Chris Mikesell. Rewatch King of the Ring 98, where Shamrock won, and realize he never got a WWF title shot. Is it a recent thing where the winner now gets a title shot? That could have been beneficial for Ken that year. It's something they brought back. It was something they did in 94. They did it in 95. And then they stopped. So they didn't do it in 96, 97, 98, 99. I don't think they did it again, honestly, until 2002 with Brock. Yeah, because Billy Gunn won King of the Ring. He didn't get a title shot, thank God. Kurt Angle, I think Kurt Angle, okay, maybe. Kurt Angle was in the title match that year, but I don't know if it was because he won King of the Ring. So I don't want to credit King of the Ring with that. That was a triple threat match, by the way. But they brought it back for Brock in 02, and then, it was something relatively recent that they started doing again. And I think that's the way it always should have been. Yeah, you do King of the Ring in June, and the winner or winners gets a title shot at SummerSlam. I just think it makes sense. It's kind of like, you know, they build up SummerSlam as like the WrestleMania of the summer. And we have the Rumble leading into Mania. The winners get to pick the champion of their choosing. So why not have something similar for SummerSlam? Venom Katetsu, thank you for the five. Says, could you see the Tongans being placed in an underwhelming Mangan Barbarian tag team now that the MFTs are no more? Are you saying that the Faces of Fear were underwhelming? Are you slighting the name of the Faces of Fear? Yeah, I mean, this is basically it's like a new version of the Gorillas of Destiny, basically. That's basically what they'll probably end up being. Instead of Tonga Loa, we get Tala Tonga. They're all brothers, trading one brother for the other. GMB says, Chelsea is bad in the ring. Penta match was 48 years ago. Oh, the Penta match with Chelsea. Feels like 48 years ago. Yeah, but you know what? Chelsea was in there with Jade. So I don't want to judge it based on the fact that she was in the ring with Jade Cargill tonight. MGM Ballin with a $9.99. Joining late and trying to play catch-up has been banned by YouTube, apparently. I tried to start from the beginning and it glitches like crazy. I don't know. It should be, unless it was just a weird glitch. Nothing's changed as far as I'm aware. Optimistic Quest says, WWE Gunther versus Oba. Oh, Gunther is the champion versus Oba. Cody Punk versus Sammy and KO. Are you pitching that for SummerSlam or something in the future? Cody and Punk against Sammy and KO would kind of cook, I'm not going to lie. Joseph Brooks, there have been 10 wrestlers to hold the WWE title, I assume, for more than 365 days. Do you know who the 10 are? Yeah. If I sat here and thought about it, I could tell you all 10. I mean, obviously, Roman is one of them. Hogan is another. Bruno is another. Savage has to be, right? Because Savage won the belt in March of 88. He dropped it in April of 89. So Savage would be. So that's like four or five right there that I just named. But if I had time to think on the rest, I can come up with all of them, I'm sure. I'm trying to think from that period. Diesel would be one. I'm trying to think from that period post-Hogan. I guess the rest might come from pre-Hogan. Right? Backlund. I just gave you seven or eight of them right there. Near is with us. 4 years cancer-free. Near 316. Near 316 says he just whipped cancer's ass. I love saying that. Near, I hope you're doing well. Thank you, brother. Happy to hear that. ASU Amy with a $19.99. I'm going to learn Mandarin with my extra hour on Friday night. What are you going to do, Solo? I'm going to try to get some fucking sleep is what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. It'd be nice to get some extra rest, though. Thank you, Amy. Oh, I'm so happy that SmackDown is back to 2 hours. Now, if only SmackDown wasn't such shit. That's still going to be a problem going forward, but it's an hour less of shit. So I'm happy with that. Aaron says, what would be worse booking? Jay pins Oba after Brock... hold on a second here. After Brock attacks him while the ref is down, or Brock attacks Oba in the ref's sight, and Oba wins King of the Ring, but by disqualification. Wow. Both of those are pretty terrible, but I'm going with the one that does not include Jey Uso winning King of the Ring. And EJ Slim, if Bischoff wanted WCW and the NWO as separate brands, why wasn't Thunder the NWO show? Co-branded WCW-NWO pay-per-views started around then anyway. I don't know. I mean, I don't recall the sequence of events. I know they tried NWO Nitro and it was a failure. Maybe the idea was to try it with Nitro, see what the reaction was, and then if it got over well, maybe they would have transitioned it over to Thunder and made Thunder the NWO show. It was about proof of concept, and the concept was a bust. You know, they did NWO Nitro, and as I recall, it did bad numbers, and they never did it again. Misfit Wrestling Podcast, rest in peace, Joe Doring, absolutely. And Super Pony with a $4.99. What does Sammy do at SummerSlam when he eats the pin tomorrow and doesn't win the title? I said before, Punk. If it's not going to be Punk and Cody, you could do Sammy and Punk underneath. I think that'd be a fine introductory program for him on SmackDown. I just don't know what Cody would be doing at that point. Cody and Gunther, by then Cody and Gunther is done. Like, it's exhausted. I don't want to see it. I would feel the same way about it that I felt about Cody and Drew, where for the love of God, you can't do Cody and Drew again at WrestleMania. So, unless Gunther wins tomorrow and then Cody wrestles Gunther to get the belt back and they do a stip, but it's like, again, Cody and Gunther at Clash in Italy and SmackDown and Night of Champions and SummerSlam, like, at what point is enough enough? Randy Orton, I don't know what's going on with Randy Orton. He was supposed to be a Fanatics Fest next month. They just announced that he's had to pull out. They didn't say why. I don't know what's going on with him. Anyway, the goal per the wheel tonight was 475 likes, and I do believe that we have smashed that. We are at 504. So it's good, because I didn't want to end the week without doing Be the Booker. We didn't do it on Wednesday. But we get to do it now. So let's go ahead and Be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
Always a fine way to close out the week, although we do have another stream tomorrow. I feel like it's been a while. Did we do Be the Booker on Monday, or did we not do it on Monday? Everything's been so out of whack lately with all the times and everything, and some people haven't been able to join, and all these sporting events and everything. I just feel like everything's been dead. It's depressing. This whole month has been depressing. All right, here we go. Be the Booker. We got Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre. Oh, my God. I can't get away from it. If we're not going to get it one-on-one, damn it, you're going to get them in a tag team. I cannot get away from it. Cody and Drew, a young Cody and Drew, are going to be taking on the Miz. Nope, we got swerved. Why did that happen? It was supposed to be the Miz and R-Truth, and then it kept going, and now we've landed on the Powers of Pain, which honestly, I think we landed on the better team here. At least this is a real tag team. Two more streams, he says. Fade says, Forbidden Door. No, I'm not doing a Forbidden Door stream. There will be no Forbidden Door stream on Sunday. But there will be a Night of Champions review tomorrow. And then a podcast on Sunday. Double or Nothing was honestly the best pay-per-view so far of the entire year from any promotion. And I'm sure I will be live after Redemption. I will definitely be live after All In. I am not going live after Forbidden Door. I'm not doing that. All right, here we go. Women's Be the Booker. We have Jamie Hayter. Love Jamie Hayter. And now, Jamie Hayter's opponent. She gets no opponent because we have to choose four women and book ourselves a tag team match. Okay. Question is, do we wipe the slate clean and start over again? I think we have to. So Jamie Hayter disappears. And now we get to pick four women. Makeshift teams. Here we go. We have Ruby Soho. Is she retired? Is she basically retired? No, I wish her well, whatever she's doing. Ruby Soho, or Ruby Riot, whatever you want to call her, and Kairi Sane as a team. Okay. Ruby and Kairi. They are going to be taking on Ivy Nile. And Alexa Bliss. So who do we have on the other side? We had Ruby and Kairi against Alexa and Ivy. All right. Okay. Well, because the stipulation came after the wrestler was chosen. So when that happens, you wipe the slate clean and you start over. That's why Jamie had to go. And our main event. We get one more. Bliss fan's going to have a field day. Bliss fan's going to be very happy with that match. Bliss fan's not going to be very happy unless Alexa goes over, though. All right, our main event. We have the Rainmaker. Bitch. Kazuchika Okada, where he belongs. Now the question is, are we getting AEW Okada? Or are we getting New Japan Okada? I want New Japan Okada. I want him to have his working boots on. Oh, my goodness. We have Okada in the main event against Yoshihiko. Oh my God, it is a Yoshihiko debut here in Be the Booker. I was stunned there for a moment. I was speechless. I was not expecting that. There are people in the chat who have no idea who or what this is. This is Yoshihiko. How do you not know? How do you not know the legend of Yoshihiko? Yoshihiko has had some classic bouts with Kota Ibushi in the past. Let me tell you something. I trust in Okada to go in there with Yoshihiko and actually pull off a great wrestling match. Well, how's that for a main event? Okada and Yoshihiko. I know some people aren't going to like that match very much. And some people are going to love that match. I would love to hear a Cornette review of an Okada-Yoshihiko match. So you never know what you're going to get and Be the Booker. That's the beauty of it. Luis, Much love to Venezuela after the win, after the earthquakes that hit the country. I don't know what that other word is that you threw in there. Yes, much love to Venezuela. It was very, very sad to hear about all those earthquakes the other day. They had one in Japan, too. So long to the Home Depot bloodline. See you never. And Super Pony says, can we expect a Michael Jackson-level rant when Jay pins Oba tomorrow? No, I mean, I'm half expecting it. It's like you could see it coming. I'm hoping that they will have enough sense not to do it. But it's not like most of us don't already see off in the distance. It's kind of coming towards us. It's like being on the Titanic and you see the iceberg, but there's really nothing you can do about it. Just take the hit. EJ with the $4.99, even though I don't think she'll ever come to the States, which company would Mayu Iwatani do better in, WWE or AEW? AEW. I mean, that's not even a question. People like myself thought that Julia was going to come in and be this force to be reckoned with in the women's division in WWE, and look at the position she's in now. Carlos Galvan with 55 months of membership. Hey, Solo, King of Wrestling versus The Bar. Who you got? You mean Kings of Wrestling? That'd be a hell of a match. It'd be kind of hard to do that match, though, considering Claudia would have to be in both of them, on both teams. I would have to go with Sheamus and Cesaro. Any early ROH Claudio matches worth checking out? I mean, off the top of my head, I can't think of one that really stands out to me that I would say you have to go out of your way to see. That was when I first got exposed to him. I think he still had hair at that point. It was very stringy. It's a good thing he got rid of the rest of it. But no, none that I could think of. I know he and Hiro also had some matches in CZW that were pretty memorable, but I wasn't really watching CZW at the time. But if you go back and check out any of the Kings of Wrestling stuff, it's all great. I mean, you really can't go wrong with any of those tag team matches. Brandon Proctor from earlier, 49 months of channel membership. Says, Brother Solo, 49 months. A fitting opening to this review. You won't be missed. 3-hour SmackDown. Please don't come back. Unfortunately, it will come back, but not until next year. Misfit Wrestling Podcast, Japan Earthquake happened while Noah was having a show on Wrestle Universe. Yes, I talked about that at the beginning of the Uncrowned Wrestling Show last week. Also, Yoshihiko is a legend. That's why we have Yoshihiko in there, because we need more legends in Be the Booker. Mayu will never wrestle for Tony Khan. She doesn't like AEW and is super loyal to Rossi. Yeah, I know Tony Khan is no Rossi Ogawa fan. Neither is Kenny Omega. Well, if she's that loyal, then I guess AEW is off the table. But I think if all things equal, she would do better in if that wasn't the case, she would do better in AEW than she would in WWE. That's what I'm going to say. EJ says, I'm the biggest Yoshihiko fan. So happy. People say someone could wrestle a broom. Ibushi basically did, and it's better than most WWE matches. I can't argue with you. Toya ain't nice. How many interference will we see tomorrow night? I think we're going to get some in the King of the Ring match. I think we will get it in the women's U.S. title match. I'll keep it to those two, because you don't want to overload it. But I think in those two matches, story-wise, it would make the most sense. Boots with a 5. With the CMLL New Japan Lucha Kingdom show in November, I'm thinking Tony Khan is feeling left out. There's still time. There could be AEW talents that have dual contracts who work for one of those companies who Like if Takeshita wrestles there, technically that's an AEW guy. Right? Or Hechicero. Alexander with a $4.99 solo is channeling his inner Samuel L. Jackson in Pulp Fiction by reading Bible verses before shooting 3 hour SmackDown's Dead. I love it. As I tell SmackDown, English, motherfucker, do you speak it? And then I just empty the clip into SmackDown. Very therapeutic. Venom says he predicts 90% fuckery at Night of Champions. Oh, I'm sure there'll definitely be some fuckery on that show. Yeah, I mean, Judgment Day probably tries to help. Why don't we just have interference in every match? Why don't we just do that? We'll have Lil Yachty interfering in the trick match. Could throw Carmelo Hayes out there, too. We'll have Charlotte do a run-in in the Jade Cargill match. We'll have Brock run out in the King of the Ring. We'll have the Judgment Day run out in the Queen of the Ring. And then who interferes in the triple threat match? Kevin Owens will show up. He'll help Sami Zayn win. We'll have interference in every match on the show. Johnny Gargano will help Sami Zayn win the WWE Championship. Super Pony, any chance Zack Sabre Jr. beats Kenny? No. No, I mean, not if Kenny is challenging for the title at Redemption. That would be very stupid. Why would he lose? In a match that was slapped together in 2 weeks? That would be fucking dumb. So on the sound-off on Sunday, I will... Well, there's more, some more TNA news. And then we'll run through that Slammiversary card. And then got some thoughts on the NXT Great American Bash card as well. I saw the segment from last week, the sit-down, with Tony D'Angelo and Naraku, who, you know, as he's speaking in that segment, it sounds like a cutscene out of a video game. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about all the fallout from Night of Champions and your questions. Got a big fat mailbag coming up this Sunday. But tomorrow we have Night of Champions. As I said before, I am going to be live. That will be, I'm guessing, probably 4:30, 5 o'clock. You know, you figure 20 or so minutes after the show ends. And we'll go live. We'll have the full recap here on the YouTube channel. Sunday will be a brand new podcast. And then we have the Raw post show on Monday, which, remember, Raw earlier start time on Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern, which means I'll be live around 9. So a little bit earlier than usual, about 2 hours or so. And then my Forbidden Door review, all my thoughts on Forbidden Door will be exclusive to the Uncrowned Wrestling Show on Tuesday. And then all the usual shows to follow. So a lot of content coming up. We got Luis. I hinted it on the Facebook group on June 1st. Who gets screwed over? Obafemi gets screwed by Brock Lesnar. Well, there it is. So saith Luis. He was apparently the first person in the world to say that. He even has the date. Have I seen the 1985 vampire movie Fright Night? Of course. It's a favorite of mine. The practical effects in there are pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. EJ says, I'm listening to Brett's book and Guy Evans' Nitro on Audible. I also finished Mike Greenberg's last book, Got Your Legends. Thanks for the link. That's why it's there. If you want to get yourself a free audiobook, you got to be like the dozens of people, hundreds probably over the years now, that have taken advantage of it. And it's even better if you're an Amazon Prime member, because then you can get two free books, two free audiobooks. audibletrial.com/solomonster. The link is always down below in the description. If you ever forget it, you can only use it once. And there's a lot of great wrestling audiobooks out there. He just named a few. Brett's book is probably the best book. It's the longest one, too. And he narrates it himself. The Guy Evans Nitro book is like the definitive book on that Nitro era. Like, he literally, like, people say, like, oh, you bring the receipts. He brings the receipts. So that's a great one, as is the Daniel Bryan book. I mean, there's so many great books. Navy says, Solo is styling and profiling and limousine riding. I took my limousine here to the Sound Off Castle. To the funeral home for the opening segment. Misfit Wrestling Podcast. Naraku told Io his English sucks. Naraku's English is fantastic. I don't think his English is any worse than some of the other talents that have come over from Japan where it's their second language and it's hard. You know, it's hard to be fluent in it. But they speak in sound bites. So it sounds like a video game cutscene. But with him, it's hilarious because, like, especially like if you remember the way that segment ended, the sit down with Tony D, where it's like he has that evil laugh. He's like a cartoon villain, like an anime villain or something. Super Pony, do you think a lot of people will boycott Cody versus Jay if that's the main event of night one? I'll probably turn off the show when that match starts, to be honest. Are people going to boycott? Nobody to make any sort of meaningful impact now. Thank you guys for hanging out with me on a Friday night. Always fun. I'm glad you can join for the opening service. We pay our respects to 3 hours of SmackDown. I guess starting next Friday, it's a tape show again next week. I don't know if the episode will leak in advance the way it did this week, but it is a tape show. I will go live in the normal time slot as we did tonight. And that will be the first 2 hour SmackDown. That'll be the July 3rd episode. So we'll be back for SmackDown next week. Be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves a great rest of your night. I hope you'll come on back tomorrow late afternoon. Night of Champions. We'll talk about who the King of the Ring is. And maybe, just maybe, we'll have a new WWE champion. You never know. We'll find out in less than 24 hours. Until then, take care, guys.